Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, but we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. We find that there are four questions that are asked in Genesis, the third chapter. And that's what we'd like for us to do in our time on the program today, is look at those four questions. The first one we find in verse 9 of Genesis 3. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" It's not that God was seeking information for himself, because we know from passages like Hebrews 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We know that because of this, John records in Revelation 20 and verse 12 that he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And we know from Romans 14 and verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." So when God asked Adam, "Where are you? Where art thou?" then that's a question that he asked for Adam to consider the answer to. God wasn't seeking the answer, because from the verses that we've just read, God knew exactly where Adam was. Where are we? If God asked us that question, "Where art thou?" where are we? Are we in Christ, or are we out of Christ? That's the most important location as far as to where it is that we need to be. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, Paul said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory." Where is salvation? It is in Christ Jesus. In Galatians chapter 3, we read how that we are to get in to Christ. In Galatians 3, verse 26, "For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So, we are baptized into Christ. It's in Ephesians chapter 2 that we read, in beginning with verse 11. "Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So we need to ask ourselves that question: are we in Christ, or are we out of Christ? We need to ask ourselves: are we in the broad way, or are we in the narrow way? Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 7 when he talks about these two paths. "Enter in the straight gate, but wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Are you in the broad way, or are you in the narrow way? Another question that we find in Genesis chapter 3 is in verse 11. God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I have commanded that you should not eat?" So, who told you that you were naked? See, what this tells us is that we need to always check the source of our information. Who told you that baptism has nothing to do with saving? Well, you didn't get it from Mark 16:16, because Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You didn't get it from the statement that Peter gave in answer to the question of what they must do in Acts 2, when he said in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And you certainly didn't get it from Ananias when Ananias came to Saul in Acts 22 and verse 16 and said, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So who told you that baptism has nothing to do with saving? Well, that only source for that has to be then the devil. Who told you that one church is just as good as another? Yet Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And Ephesians 5 verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And it's in Ephesians 1 that we read in verse 22 that God has put all things under Christ's feet and has gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So, again, what is the source of our information? But when we look at this particular question in the context of Genesis 3 and verse 11, he said, "Who told you that thou wast naked?" A point that we need to consider is that word naked. They were naked even though by this time they had aprons that they had made to put on to cover themselves. So you see, even those aprons that Adam and Eve made for themselves, still God said that they were naked. And it shows to us that we can have on clothes and still, as far as God is concerned, be naked. Two, also, there is the question in verse 11. It says, "Has thou eaten of the tree of which I gave command that you should not eat? Have you done what I told you not to do?" In other words, God is asking, have you transgressed my law? Have you sinned? In Romans 3, we find in verse 9, it says, "What then? Are we better than they?" No, in no wise. "For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. For," verse 23 says, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In fact, John tells us in 1 John 1 and verse 8 that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So see, the question that God is asking you is not, have you sinned, Adam, but rather, what are you doing about it? You know, some think that sin committed in the past will just somehow be forgotten. Somehow time will erase that sin, but not so. We need to understand that only God can forgive sin, and our sins can only be forgiven doing things that God says we must do in order to have our sins forgiven. If God gives us the definition of sin, then God gives us the conditions by which sin can be forgiven. Him and only Him can be the one that has authority to state the conditions of forgiveness. Not you, not me, not some other preacher, not some pope, not some priest, not nobody. God alone can forgive sin, and he has set the conditions through his Son as to how those sins can be forgiven. If you're not a Christian, he tells us that the word, his word, has to be heard, because the faith that we have, the faith for which it is impossible to please God without, is faith that comes from the hearing of God's word. Romans 10, verse 17. And Hebrews 11, verse 6, faith without faith is impossible to please him. But Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, except you repent, you will perish. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, verse 32, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There's only two ways that sin can be forgiven, and we've just explained what to do to have sin forgiven if we're not a Christian. If we have obeyed that gospel and yet sin, as we find example of Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8 doing that very thing, he heard the Philip preach the gospel. He believed the gospel that Philip preached. He believed what Philip preached about Christ, the Son of God. And he, along with the other Samaritans, were baptized. But then he went back to his former ways of trying to bewitch the people, to make the people think that he was the great power of God, when he asked to buy the power of the Holy Spirit from Peter and John with money. He sinned. And that's exactly what Peter tells him in Acts 8. He said, repent of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thoughts of your heart be forgiven you. So as a Christian, no, we don't need to be rebaptized. As a Christian who has obeyed that gospel at one point in his life, we need to repent of sin that we commit and acknowledge it unto God and ask God for forgiveness. Pray that these things might be forgiven. But you know, it's extremely hard to just simply admit, I have sinned. The other question here in Genesis 3 is in verse 13. The Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? See, Eve had not fully comprehended what she had done. And so it is then that in so doing, sin was brought into the world along with all of the consequences that sin brings with it. Physical death, first of all, and then the curses that God sets out. Then as he begins to talk in verse 14, concerning the curse that he puts upon the serpent, and then when he talks about the curse that he puts upon woman in verse 16, and then he directs his attention to Adam and explains the curse that will come upon him. And then, of course, we know that because of their sin, verse 23 says, the Lord God sent them out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which they were taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the end of the garden, at east, I'm sorry, of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Man engaged in sin. Sin separated him from God. Man now is dead from God. That's why God said that the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And they did. That's what sin does. It separates. Spiritually, we're separated from God. Then there was that curse of death passing upon all men, physical death. It's the consequence of sin. And so it is then that we don't bear the guilt of Adam's sin, but we do bear the consequence. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.